I know that we already spoke. I know that we already had a shared interview together, and we talked about services, and we talked about you know, the support that HCC has for students, for a community, for everybody. It is just so much, and it's so important that it took twice. You know, it took two invitations, it took two episodes to be able to cover all of it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, on the caption today for our show, I said that it takes a village to raise a child. And that's an African proverb that I truly believe in, that I truly think that it's true, that, you know, certainly we can do all on our own. We can do it all by ourselves. But it's much better when we have help, when we have others involved, and it's much more enriching as well for our kids, and for ourselves as well, to have that helping hand. I think it's really, really important. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about, you know, academic support services. We're going to be talking about the many ways in which ACC is really committed to the success of the students and helping them reach their potential. And that's where I would like to start this conversation today, since we kind of met you the other day, Deborah, through our conversation. But you mentioned also a little bit about your journey. You mentioned a little bit about, you know, why you started doing this and why you felt so strongly about continuing to do it as a career, because you understand the difference that help makes in our lives and in the lives of our students. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how that idea of that helping hand and that support, it's really behind everything that you guys do at the Academic Support Services and how it shapes everything you guys do. So welcome to our show again. Good morning. Let's start right there.
Good morning. Yes, I'll start right there. So if you look at the name Academic Support Services, it kind of encapsulates our mission. So the mission of HCC is to help students get there from here. And so we provide the support services to help students to get there, which is ultimately whatever their goal is for graduation or transfer, to get there from Academic Support Services. So basically it's just a collection of different support programs that provide different levels of support based on, you know, what it is that students are in need of. So we have several academic support programs, and we can talk about them individually if that's what you think I should do at this
sure.
point.
So, you know, I do want to visit the word support before we go into that. Sure. Because we, many times, we feel, you know, support is only when we're failing, or it's, you know, when we are in need. And I think that that's a misconception. And I think that even when we are at our highest, it's really important for us to have that support, you know, maybe at that point it becomes more of a cheering or a group to really, you know, just celebrate with you your success. So I wanted to unpack that idea of support and, you know, what you guys are doing with that and how you guys are maybe taking away that stigma that comes with the idea of I need support, then it means that you're drowning, it means that you're helpless. Let's break that down a little bit.
So support means something different for each person. I mean, basically just what you said. So support can mean something in the form of, I just need a little extra support in my classroom. Support can mean I need to talk to someone about my home life balance. It can mean I need some help with scholarships so that I can pay for my education. It can mean I need help, you know, with writing. It can mean a variety of different things. So it really just depends on the situation for each person. And we try to know our students holistically, so that we're able to help them in the way that they most need help. So it's going to present differently for everyone. And we then try to provide students with resources to get them the type of support that they need. But it's so individual. And I think that is, again, a big piece of what we do in academic support. So we want to know each of our students and kind of know about them. And that way we can provide the support that is going to be best. So we call it holistic advising, where you know you're working with the whole person and understanding what challenges and barriers and support it is that they need. So it's going to be different.
And I love that you said that it's holistic, that it's individual, that you guys are really looking at a student. It's not like you have, and yes, you have, you have a series of programs available for the students, but it's not like you come and you say, okay, what do you need? Math? Okay, here it is. Now it's like, okay, what else is happening? What else is going on? It's not that you guys have a cold approach to it where they come in and it's like real quickly, it's like, okay, here, take this pill kind of thing, right? It's like, I have a headache. Okay, just take this pill and then that's it, right? It's like, you're really looking for the root. You're really looking at, okay, what's causing this? You know, where else do you need it? Maybe stress. I mean, let's face it, sometimes when we are under stress, we can't learn because our brains are totally in a different place or worried about other things. Mm-hmm. And that affects how we are in our academics. So maybe it's not that you're not understanding math. It's not that you're not understanding science. It's not that you're not getting it. Maybe it's just that you need to be able to go and talk to somebody about some of the other stressors that you have in your life. And that in turn will come back and allow you to do better at school. So I really appreciate that. And that's exactly what my experience was like when I was a student. And when I first came and met with somebody, I forget which class it was that I was struggling with. And, you know, after a couple of conversations, they helped me realize that part of the struggle that I was going through the class, it was, yes, because some of the things I had never seen before, and it was challenging in itself. Mm-hmm. But it was mostly because I was, I was working full time. I had children at the time. So I had so many other things pulling that the time that I was being able to offer to studying just was not allowing me to really focus and was not really allowing me to really do as well as I wanted to do. And it's not that they gave me a magic solution, but they allowed me to really just take a breath and understand and be okay with that, you know, because I was always an A, I guess here in the States would have been like an A++ student or something like that. I don't know. Right? Like I was always top of my class. I was always like the first or second. Like I really, really was a bookworm, I guess is what you would call me, right? And I had a hard time knowing that I was struggling with accepting that I was struggling with my classes and accepting that I was struggling with that my grades were not all A's or, you know, things like that. And to have a conversation with somebody in academic support services who made it okay and said, you know, you're doing a lot and I'm going to help you understand things so you can then go to your classes and succeed. But you also need to just kind of like take a real deep look at yourself and say, I'm not a full-time student anymore. I have other responsibilities and I need to just accept that. And I need to keep doing what I'm doing and do what I need in order to succeed. But know that is okay. And know that is enough. And you know, and I remember so clearly he said, you're here today, you're taking a big step by coming and asking for help. And I really appreciate that you're here today. So take that as your win already and keep moving forward. Absolutely. And that made all the difference to me. It really, really made all of the difference to me. And that's the most valuable thing that I took with me out of academic support services.
Great. Yeah. Because sometimes you just need someone else to kind of give you perspective on what might be going on. When we talk to ourselves all the time, you know, that's just that one voice. And so it is good, you know, to take that first step and, you know, just kind of talk about it. And then, you know, sometimes that's the pill that you might need, but it certainly isn't a cookie cutter situation. So everybody is not a chocolate chip cookie. Some people are oatmeal raisin. Some people are peanut butter. So we try to, you know, tailor our approaches in that same way and looking at everybody as an individual and trying to go from there.
Absolutely, and not judging, which was another thing that I really, really appreciated, that it was non-judgmental, it was safe, I felt appreciated, I felt cared for, and like I said, it gave me that little boost that I needed. I felt like I was sinking, and they were like, no, it's okay, take a breath, you're not sinking, we're going to get through this, we're here to hold you and make sure that you stay afloat. And it really did. It really made a huge, huge difference. So, you know, what would you say is the mission then? You know, now that we understand how you guys work and how you guys look at students, what would you say the mission of the Academic Support Services is?
Our mission mirrors HCC's mission in that we're providing support for students to get there, wherever that is for them, from here, from academic support. So we provide those support services in the way that we try to, again, make it individualized for the support that those particular students may need. And so we might refer to different programs within academic support based upon what we're hearing from the student as to what their needs are.
And I love that idea of getting there from here. You know, it's like this is, HCC understands that this is your first step in your career. This is your first step in, you know, into whatever it is that you're dreaming of doing. Like, you know, that what am I going to do when I grow up kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
HCC is that first step, you know, in making that dream come true. And they really, really are looking for many ways and trying to offer the best opportunities for all of our students, whether you're a traditional or non-traditional like I was, right? Whether you just graduated from high school or you're coming back years later after having had a profession and you just really want to go back and do something else. There's a lot of support of help and you know, that idea of getting you there from here is like that understanding that really drives everybody at HCC by saying, I know you're sitting here at this desk, you know, or in front of your computer, or however it is that you're taking your class or in the lab, right? Depending on what kind of class you're doing. But I know this is not the end. I know this is just the beginning of your story, and that there's a different desk, or there's a different computer, there's a different stage where you want to be, and that's where we want to get you. So I really value that saying of getting you there from here. So what are some of the services? Let's go ahead and dive into some of the services available.
Sure, we have several. So I'll try and do, let's say, alphabetical order. So one of the first support programs we have, which is our newest support program, is called Ambiciones. And Ambiciones is a program designed for Latinx students who are either entering or actually in Howard Community College. So our assistant director, Sandy Koss, also does outreach to the high schools with the Hispanic liaisons, and she'll go out and kind of talk about navigating the path to entering college. So she goes over admissions, financial aid, talks about DACA, undocumented students. They also come on campus. She does advising, and then she does a lot of referral to other programs across campus, again, based upon the needs of individual students, but she really works heavily with students and their families, particularly, again, on the admissions portion of it, and also works in conjunction with our admissions and advising area. They also provide scholarships for students who may be having difficulty with paying. She does academic advising and planning. So you would just, each of those students would meet with Sandy for all of their academic needs. And again, she would then refer. And then she also does a lot of cultural programming to kind of bring the presence for all the Hispanic Latino students on campus.
I had the opportunity to interview Sandy. I guess it was maybe last semester when we talked about Ambiciones, and it's a conversation in Spanish. I'll be posting the link to that podcast on Facebook. And for all of you watching on TV, you can go to caliente.podbean.com and you can find that show. So you can find out more about, you know, what Sandy does. And if I can just share with you, my favorite part of that conversation was that she said that she has even worked as an alarm clock. You know, she understood that one of her students one of her biggest challenges was getting up in the mornings and you know, just, and even though they tried to make her schedule a little later or try to work with that, there were other considerations to make. So Sandy, she said, you know, so many times I would just send her a text or just a quick call or something and be like, are you up yet? Are you on your way to school? You know, good morning. To try to really, really just help this student, you know, achieve their goals and understanding that that was one big thing for them. So, I mean, to that point of, you know, you expect that from your family, from your friends, from your parents. But to know that there's people at HEC so committed to your success that they'll even send you a quick text in the morning to help you get up. I mean, that's, that was my favorite part of the conversation because that really showed, you know, the kind of commitment and heart that she has.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, most of the staff and academic support, we definitely go, I would consider, above and beyond in terms of creating that community for each of their students, depending upon their needs. Because again, if we see that you're working hard and you're trying, then we're going to work hard and try as well. So yeah, above and beyond for sure with Sandy. she's
absolutely. Is there any programs on the B, or are we jumping straight to the C?
There are none for the B. So the second program, which is actually not a part of academic support, but we work really closely with them. We're actually in the same department, but she's in counseling and career services, and that is Career Links. And so Career Links is a program for non-traditional adults, but primarily single parents. And what she does with that program, again, is very similar to what Ambitiones does. They do a lot of referrals and they work with students to kind of do that work-life balance. They offer scholarships as well for those parents who may be struggling to have childcare for their students. They work closely with the Children's Learning Center to kind of try to see if they can use vouchers for their children. And so they kind of work and do workshops based on mostly, again, that work-life balance and how some of the things you talked about earlier, coming back to school as a non-traditional student and kind of, you know, helping students to become more comfortable with who they are. You know, also talking about the fact that our population is above 24. For the most part. And so when you feel like, oh, saw these students straight out of high school and I just don't feel comfortable or I don't think I know, you know, they work on those sorts of, you know, fears and issues for students and challenges that they have with managing a family and also trying to get an education. And it can be rough.
Yes, absolutely.
So Maureen Marshall is the associate director for Career Links, and she has a great staff. And again, they do referrals based upon those individual needs that students have coming into the program. So for example, right now she's working on getting books because one of the big barriers for students are that they can't afford some of the materials. And so she has scholarships through the foundation and also through her operating budget that helps students get what they need so that they can be successful in class, you know, with just the general basics, and then they move on from there.
You know, you mentioned about the challenges, you know, financial, or, and that's real. It's a big challenge, and it can be a big challenge when you're working, you have a family, you want to further your career, and it's like, how do I afford this, right? And like you said, there's scholarships, there's help out there, and I know that I definitely try to take advantage when I was back in school to absolutely all of those options. But I think one of the biggest barriers, and I don't think that it becomes so obvious until you're actually on that first day of school, is what you were saying, is that, oh my gosh, that feeling of, okay, I am a non-traditional student, and you start walking and you see a lot of young people, and then suddenly you're very aware of how old you are. And I'm talking, you know, this was, about 10 years ago, and yet I was still feeling that. And I was really uncomfortable at the beginning, and, you know, walking into a classroom and you have all of those emotions already rushing through you. And that could stop somebody, you know, from furthering their career. That could definitely stop somebody, because it is real. It is overwhelming and it's valid. It's a valid feeling. But I have to say, I felt, you know, both with the students, you know, with the classmates that I had and my teachers, I felt so comfortable after that, you know, first and second class. I felt really, really comfortable. I felt like I belonged. Like, I did not feel that I was the ugly duck of the classroom kind of thing, you know, that I was completely outside
for you.
of the situation. It was, but in the beginning, it was intimidating. It was really intimidating, and it's a personal process. And I think that that's, you know, another piece of academic support services and in the specific case, Career Links, that I could have benefited from, because I went in there almost like clueless, you know, very naive, because I was like, well, I'm just going back to school. But once you're there, you realize, and it becomes very real, that situation is different. You are one of the oldest in the classrooms, if not the oldest, and that gives a whole lot of other, I don't want to call them challenges, but definitely feelings and things that you need to work through.
Mm-hmm. And it's all valid. I mean, whatever we feel is valid, you know. And we, again, as you mentioned, we're not judgmental about whatever those fears are, because in many cases, we've all experienced some level of that fear in our college experience, for sure. So we're able to definitely relate to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I encourage everybody listening and watching who might be, you know, not graduated from high school, right? And there's a couple of years have passed and you haven't taken your career farther, but you want to do it. HCC is a beautiful environment to go and do that. It really is. It's very supportive. It's you know, from my experience, it was nerve-wracking at the beginning. But like I said, after those first two classes, you realize that really your teachers were just looking to teach you. You know, if you're there ready to work, they're ready to work with you. And with the students, it's kind of like the same way, honestly, you know. I mean, yes, you do have some students who are more into the partying and, you know, I mean, these are kids, but there's a lot of very committed students who are just ready to work hard. And I made great friendships that I carry with me, you know, until this day. So,
yeah.
So don't let that stop you from furthering your career. Take that step, call HCC. Maybe do what I did, enroll for one class at the beginning if you just want to see how it feels, if it feels too, like too much. But don't stop. Don't stop. Can definitely continue to further your education. Like we say, start here and get to where you want to be.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, with the friendships that you made, that you still continue through today, that's what a lot of the academic support programs do. So they build that sense of community so that you can see that you're actually not alone. So not only do you have, you know, your village within the staff and faculty that are working in the area, but also other students that you can begin to lean on that are very similar and facing some of the same challenges that you are.
Absolutely. So what's the next service that you guys have?
The next service that we have would be what we talked about last week, which is the Learning Assistance Center. So I won't spend a lot of time on it, but basically the Learning Assistance Center is our tutoring center, and we have students referred to the Learning Assistance Center, or you can self-refer, and you can receive a tutor that you would see the same time for the duration of the semester or however long you need them. So we have scheduled tutoring, which is that same person that you would see throughout the semester. You can see as many tutors as you would like for each class. So that's one thing I don't know if we mentioned the last time. It's a free service. And so if you're taking five classes and you need help in five classes, you can get five tutors. So this is one of the benefits, again, of coming to Howard Community College, because many colleges don't offer tutoring in every subject. So it might be more limited, but we try to do all of the subjects that the college offers. From time to time, we won't have tutors available, but we do our best to accommodate all of our students' schedules. So it's a service that you can use. And we also have drop-in tutoring that you can use at any time. So if you don't want to have a tutor for the entire semester and you just need a little bit of help or a question answered, you can also use our drop-in service for the Learning Assistance Center. We also do individualized workshops where it could be something on time management, on stress, on math anxiety, any of those things that you feel like maybe it's not really an academic thing, but I just need to sharpen my study skills. So you can meet with a tutor that can help you with a couple of methods for study skills, for example. So those are some of the things that we offer in the Learning Assistance Center.
And it's important to address all of that, as you were saying, look at the whole picture, because you know, many times, again, it's not that you're not understanding. It's not, I know that always, absolutely always, is not that you cannot learn. Everybody can learn. Everybody's absolutely capable. Everybody's smart. Everybody can learn. There's just sometimes some blocks, or there's just things that maybe you're just not getting, and you need that extra help. And I love that you talked about anxiety and time management and you know, just fear and other things, that because sometimes we just don't think about that as being part of our process of learning. And I think those are really, really important. Like I, you know, I remember there's been times where I just freeze, you know, but I have this fear, right? Because it was a really important test, or I had to present in person in front of a group, and you feel, it's a sensation that I can almost describe, that it starts like a hole in your stomach, and it feels like really tight here in your chest, right? And to learn how to techniques to how to control those feelings, how to control those physical things and the emotional things that come with that, it's it can make all the difference. It can absolutely make all the difference in your career.
And I also think, also with the anxiety piece of it, learning not only just the technique, but the difference between knowing the material and not knowing the material. So sometimes we get anxious because we don't know the material. And so we're nervous about not doing well on that particular exam. But then there's that other type of anxiety where it's more like the technique needs to be used because you know the material, but you're nervous about how well you know the material. And so just kind of knowing little tips and tricks is just a part of, again, navigating that college experience. And, you know, we try to help students get through that.
Absolutely. So what's the next? I know we have a lot of programs and we definitely want to talk about
We do. The next program is Howard Pride. And so Howard Pride is a leadership program for Black males, Black and minority males at the college. And the focus for Howard Pride, in terms of also their leadership activities, but the main focus is on developmental math. Years ago, when the program was started, they did a study where they found that Black and Latino males were more at risk of not finishing the developmental sequence. So Howard Pride was kind of developed on that premise, along with some other things, but hopeful that students who would get past that developmental sequence and move on to college level would be more likely to graduate. And so the Howard Pride program has their own tutoring program, and they focus on both developmental and college level math. They also, similarly to Ambicioni, do a lot of cultural programming, and also try to bring that sense of community for the Black and minority males on campus. They've done a lot of different service learning activities, but again, the focus mainly is on passing that developmental math sequence. And so they serve at this time about a little over 200 students. And are always recruiting more. They also do a lot of, similar to Ambicioni's, they go out to the high schools as well to kind of help those students to navigate coming to college, that process.
Sounds fantastic. And, you know, I'm glad that HCC recognizes that and looks at the data and realizes, okay, there's a group of students here who are falling behind and who we need to help, and design programs like Howard Pride really assist. Mm-hmm. How do students, you know, who feel maybe that they need this kind of help and that they want to be part of Howard Pride, how do they get involved with it? Do they just contact you guys, and are there requirements?
Sure, they can contact, they can go on the website to and search for Howard Pride, and it has the information with contact numbers. The associate director is Sean Lamb, and he basically will ferret out all of the intakes. So there's just a small intake process depending upon how many students they actually can serve for that particular year. But they would just fill out an application and do a interview for the program, and there you're in.
So it's not very difficult to get in. It's, you know,
No, you just have to have motivation and, you know, a desire and a will to succeed. And, you know, they will help you get there.
And, you know, I invite everybody to take a look at all of these programs. And we're not done yet. We still have a couple more to cover. But I do invite everybody to take advantage of these. It's something I cannot say I did well enough when I was in school. And it's something that I look back, and as you were saying, Deborah, you know, not just because of the support, but because of the community that I see that the students form. You know, now that I work at HEC, I get to see that they have all of these strong friendships, and they have this, not just the support, the academic support, not just that piece of it, but really that blanket that comes with having the friends, having other people be in that same situation and being able to connect, you know, knowing that we're struggling with the same, but we're taking steps towards, you know, making sure that we get through this. And that forges some beautiful, beautiful friendships and some beautiful just bonds. And I love seeing that. That's one of my favorite parts about seeing when students come, you know, to her building and came and visited me at my office. And when I would talk with them and they would tell me about these programs, I'm like, you know, I wish I really had known about these, or I had taken the time really to look for them when I was a student, because I see the difference. I see the confidence that it gives our students to then continue to move forward. And I find so much value on them.
And I did go out of alphabetical order. The next program is Disability Support Services. And Disability Support Services is basically a program that helps students with documented disabilities to receive accommodations from their instructors. So whatever that might be, more test taking time, more time on tests, having a interpreter, a scribe, any of those documented things that help students to succeed in the classroom would be achieved through Disability Support Services. So that would mostly be for students that had an IEP or a 504 plan in high school. And so they would make an appointment with the Disability Support Services advisors and counselors, and they also advise. So they would have that same advisor that they could go to for the duration of their stay at HCC. And the great thing about it all is that it is all confidential. So no one would know what your documented disability is outside of the individuals in Disability Support Services. So it would just be having, bringing the documentation for the disability and making the appointment. So that way, prior to the start of the semester, you would have all of the accommodations that you need in order to be successful. So that's one of the other programs in academic support.
Would you happen to know some of these accommodations maybe that are available for the students? Are we talking about physical accommodations? We're talking about time, you know, what kind of things are we talking about when we talk accommodations?
Not always physical accommodations, but it really depends on the level of the disability or the nature of the disability and the nature of the accommodations that their particular psychologist has deemed appropriate for classroom. So the largest, I think it might still be that learning disability is probably has the highest percentage at the college. And so with students with learning disability, sometimes they might need less distraction in the classroom. And so during test taking time, the accommodation may be to take the test at the test center because the test center would, you know, lend quiet, or there might be other rooms in the college that they might take those tests in. So that might be the accommodation for that individual, just to be free of distraction. Sometimes because the processing time might be slower, they may need more time to take tests. So it would just be based upon the nature of the disability. If we have students who are deaf or hard of hearing, those individuals may need an interpreter. And so that interpreter would go to the class with them and do sign. Also, if they needed a tutor, that interpreter would also, or another interpreter would come and work within the tutoring session so that the students are able to understand and learn in the way that is good for them. So it really just kind of depends. We also would have accommodations that may be computer-based. So if you have someone who is blind or low vision, they may need certain software in order to see the text or have it read to them if they are blind. So it could be enlarged text or, again, like a reader. So they may have a reader in the classroom, or someone who might have problems with mobility, with writing, they would have maybe a scribe, a person who would then take notes for them in class because they're not able to keep up with the pace of, you know, the instruction in the class. So someone would be there to do that for them so that they would be able to study the notes in the same level as individuals in the classroom. So it would vary, but there are a lot of different accommodations, but again, it's just based upon the nature of the disability.
Thanks for answering that question. I know it's I know it's unique. I know it's individual, like pretty much everything that we're talking about. But I think that when we are not exposed, right, and when we don't have awareness, this is one of those things that I feel falls in the category of, unless you've experienced it or you have a friend or you have somebody that you're familiar with, that you've come to realize that such things exist, you think that there's not an option for you. You think that it's not available. You don't think that it's out there. And that's what I wanted to do with that question. Just bring awareness. One, if you feel that you could benefit and you have a disability, don't be afraid of asking. Don't be afraid of coming and saying, I need help. I need to have some accommodations for myself. And, you know, Deborah just did a beautiful job of explaining some of the accommodations that are available at HEC. Obviously, as you said, you know, it's individual, and when you work closely with experts who are dealing with the health of the person to figure out what the best accommodations are. But also for those who might not need those accommodations, I think that this gives us an understanding, because I remember in my classes, some of my classes I would see two people come in and sit down. And I wasn't understanding at first, like, you know, and they would say, oh, only this person is taking the class. Or when you're calling, you know, teachers are a roll calling in the classroom, the other person's never called, and so you're left wondering, well, what is that person doing here? So it's good to have that awareness. It's good to have that recognition. I just think that it's important to know that it's available, to know that it's there. And if you encounter that, just so that you have an idea of what is going on, and you can be, you know, sympathetic, empathetic, or just at least not as curious anymore, because now you know you have an idea of what is going on. Sure. Deborah, what would be the next service? I know that there's still at least one or two more that we haven't really touched on yet.
Yeah, we haven't hit upon yet, certainly. The next service, which is not part of academic support, but again, we work very closely with individuals from this area, which is the Step Up program, which we talked about last Monday with Eileen. And Step Up is another area in which in academic support refer students to, depending on need. And Step Up is basically where you meet with a coach, to help guide you through whatever that goal is, because each of the students who kind of come into Step Up will say what it is, why is it that you want to be in Step Up? And so some people might say, you know, I just need career guidance, or I need just somebody to talk to weekly. And so we would refer students who we feel like need a little extra guidance to Step Up. And Step Up, again, are all volunteer coaches, and you're assigned randomly to each person, and you meet with that person weekly to discuss and work through any of the goals that you have set for yourself, and you work with the coach to achieve those goals, whatever those are, for each individual.
And like you mentioned, we've already had a full conversation about Step Up, and you know, you can go back to our Facebook page, Dragon Digital Radio, or you can go back to Howard Community College's YouTube page, and you can actually watch the video there as well. So if you missed any of our conversations before, if you missed any of our shows, you can go back to those two resources and get all of the details and just watch it. Or if you really liked it and you want to watch it again, that's welcome too.
Yes, of course. The more hits, the better. And so the last program that I'll talk about today is the TRIO program, Student Support Services, which many people confuse with Academic Support Services. TRIO Student Support Services is a federal program. It's a grant-funded program that we've had at the college for over 30 years. So it probably was our first, the two first programs that we had in academic support. And basically, TRIO Student Support Services works with students who are low income, and that meaning that they're receiving a Pell Grant. Students who are first generation, so those students who neither of their parents have achieved the baccalaureate degree, and students with disabilities. And so basically the purpose of the TRIO Student Support Services, just like all of the other academic support services programs, are for students to graduate and transfer. So we work with students on advising, they do counseling, they do a lot of transfer and transfer guidance. So on day one, we are working with students who want to transfer to a four-year to get them to understand a lot of what goes into going into those four-year programs. So we will step foot on campus. So for example, many of the students at Howard Community College will say, I do want to transfer. They don't know where they want to transfer to necessarily, but most people will say, oh, I want to go to University of Maryland College Park. But have never stepped foot on College Park's campus. It's just something that is local and popular. And so we will actually bring you to the college as a group so that you can explore. And usually, you know, nothing against University of Maryland, but you have to be a certain student to want to go to such a large university. And so you can see that you might be in a class with 100 other students. And for some students, that anonymity works well because they're able to work independently in that way. And you might not ever know your instructor, but that works for them. It's just like people who want to live in a big city. So some people are not big city people, and some people are suburban, small, rural. And so just kind of understanding the nuances, that's just an example of making that goal for yourself and making educated decisions. And that would also include how much it costs to go to that four-year college given your kind of current circumstances, because two-thirds of our students have to be both low-income and first-generation, which poses its own challenges. And so we kind of just work with those students to navigate those challenges. One of the good things about Student Support Services is that within the tutoring center, all of the students who are in that particular program receive one-on-one tutoring versus the college at the LAC is all group. So you'll have 2 to 3 individuals in a group with you. When you're in Student Support Services, you'll receive that one-on-one tutoring, which is a great benefit. So that you can work with a tutor who kind of knows your style and helps you navigate that instructional experience.
Absolutely, and having that one-on-one help it can be key, can make all the difference for many of our students. It sounds like this is a program that you have to qualify for. I mean, you mentioned a couple of things. So how do students go about, you know, qualifying? Is there an application? How does it work?
So you can always go to the website and search under TRIO Student Support Services, and it has the contact information for the program. The associate director is Brandon Bellamy, and we also have two other academic support advisors, and we have a English tutor. So what you would do is just contact them via email, and they will start the process to call you into, well, not in currently, but a Zoom session for an intake. And basically, we are just looking at making sure that they're receiving a Pell Grant. And first generation status is basically self-explanatory. So we're always recruiting probably about 100 students in the fall semester. So as long as you meet one of those three criteria, you can come into the program.
And once you're signed up for this program, is this something that stays with you for your entire career at HCC, or can you take this for one semester and then step out of it, or is does it stay with you?
Well, certainly we would love for individuals to stay with us through the duration of their career, but they don't have to come into the program. We take students at any point in their college career, so it's not all first year students. We have a mix. We have students that come into the program that are only going to be there maybe a semester, but they needed some individualized work with transfer, or they needed a scholarship. So it just kind of depends, but we do follow them even if they're not necessarily active in the program. So they can step in and step out. I mean, one of my colleagues, Melody Gale, said that basically the thing that lets you know that you've been successful with a student is when they don't need you anymore. So we know that they'll need us sometimes and sometimes they won't, but we consider it a success when we're not needed any longer.
And that's a beautiful way of measuring success, I think, you know, is like to know that you're there ready to help and willing to help, and when students come, you give them every support and everything that you have. And then once they don't come anymore, like, you know, it's like that grand moment of celebration of like, yes, this is perfect. It's not that we don't want you to come anymore, but we're so glad that you don't need us anymore. Come visit.
Because we want you, you know, the ultimate goal is for you to become that independent person, that independent learner who has been given the tools to be successful, and using those tools mean that maybe you might not need us anymore, but we certainly would love for you to come and visit and let us know how you're doing.
And I also know that some students come and they are tutored, but then they become tutors themselves, you know? And
absolutely.
I think that's just beautiful. That's just full circle.
Yeah, that's the ultimate goal. So we love to see students come and say they want to be tutors. When we do our orientation for the Learning Assistance Center, we ask everybody, why is it that you want to become a tutor? And when we hear, you know, I've been helped, so I want to give back, that's just, you know, the ultimate gift for all of us.
Absolutely. Now, we haven't talked about the Completion Services Office, and we're short in time here, but I do want to make sure that we mention them
quick.
As well.
Yeah. See, I keep running out of alphabetical order. So Completion Services encompasses a lot of different functions, but basically we're working with students who are either in academic jeopardy or on their way to academic jeopardy. So Completion Services works with students who are on academic warning, which means that they have failed to reach a certain GPA, which is basically a 2.0. By a certain amount of time that they've attempted credits. So they would just need to meet with someone in Completion Services if they're on warning so that they can complete an academic plan. So it's for students to talk about just what we've been talking about this whole time. What are some of the challenges and barriers that you have to being successful in these classes? And so they will work with them to create that plan so that they can use that the following semester so that they're not going to end up on probation. So it's kind of a succession. So first comes academic learning where you're not reaching the 2.0, but you're not quite at the credit level to be in jeopardy. This is like a warning that you're going to be in jeopardy if these certain things don't change. And they also meet with students who are on academic suspension. So students who haven't met that requirement since they were on warning and then on to probation that are then suspended and want to come back to the college. And so some of those things will also take place in terms of creating the academic plan and helping students to understand what the consequences will be if you don't meet a certain criteria at a certain time. Completion Services is also responsible for the Early Alert Program. And so the Early Alert Program is a partnership between the faculty and student services where they look at behaviors that students are exhibiting in the classroom that are making them not be successful early. So within the first 6 weeks, faculty will raise what they call flags on students for that are not coming to class. So it might be attendance problems, it may be that they're missing assignments, all of those kind of behaviors that will lead to a not successful outcome in class. And so they raise flags and then members from academic support will contact those students via email or by phone and say, oh, you need to kind of maybe come in and meet. We want to kind of talk to you about what your instructor said. And or that student may go back to the instructor and start that conversation, which is really what we're hoping for. Or when they raise the flag, that they will go back to their instructor and say, what is it that I need to do in order to be more successful? But if they don't feel comfortable doing that, they can certainly come to speak to someone in academic support. And they don't have to come in person. They can talk on the phone via email, but we just want to let people know that we see them and we want to help. And so that's really the purpose of Early Alert. So Completion Services is also over that program. And Completion Services also does a lot of work in a partnership with the athletic area. And they work with many of the athletic teams. So they help them to get registered early, look at withdrawals from classes and kind of what that means to their athletic career. I'm kind of just keeping them on track because they have a lot of other requirements that they have to follow. So they work in conjunction to help them stay on track academically as well.
You know, and I personally feel that this is an advantage of a community college. I have to say, when I went to my four-year school and I found myself in this class, and I had already completed my two-year degree at HEC, and obviously I was older, you know, I mean, I started older, so I was even older at that point, right? But it was, for me at least, to be sitting in this classroom where I knew my teacher would maybe or maybe not even get to know my name and, you know, then maybe a little bit about myself. I felt really disconnected. I felt really, you know, I felt like it was really a big challenge and that it was going to be, it was really going to take everything on my part not to just not give up because, well, my teacher won't know. They won't even know who I am if I'm sitting here or not in between this 100 other people, right? So I personally think this is a huge advantage for students who, as you said, you know, and you mentioned this earlier as well, to know that there's that support, to know that there's your teachers who are looking for you when you come to class, who are looking at you. And I know that the system works great for other students. Other students like that independence and other students thrive on that. But there's other students. And like I said, I mean, I don't think that I would have been ready for that right off high school, like to just go into a classroom full of 100 other kids and not have that connection. I thrive on connection. I really do. And I need that connection. And if I can understand my teacher better, there were times, you know, when they would assign something and I would need still clarification on, you know, the requirements, or I had questions, or I had ideas that I wanted to run by them. And when you have a huge classroom like that, I think that it's a lot more difficult and it really takes a lot on the students' part. But to know that at HEC, we are so committed and so involved with your success that we really are there to help you. We really are there, you know, looking, are you coming to class? If you're not coming to class, let's talk about why you're not coming to class. Is it because you're at work? Is it because you don't have a car? Is it because, you know, what are the things getting in your way? Is it really, you know, that you're just not finding inside of yourself that push to come to class? I mean, what is it? And any of the things that you might bring up, we're going to try to help you. You know, I mean, we've talked about all of the different support services available, and it's not just, I know it's called academic support services, but we're not just looking at academics. We're not just looking at your grades. We're not just looking at, you know, the academic side of it, even though it's named that way. It's really, let's look at you. Let's look at everything that's happening. Let's look at, maybe you are struggling with that transition. Maybe you, like we said, maybe there's financial situations getting in the way. Maybe, I don't know, there's just so many
things. Yeah, I mean, it's just like Maslow's hierarchy of need. So if my basic needs are not going to be met, I can't go up to those higher level things. And again, it takes just understanding yourself. And sometimes it takes a while before we are able to understand ourselves and figure out, you know, these are the things that are inhibiting me, even though I have this really strong intrinsic motivation. And that's step number one. But then there may be other needs that need to be met in order for you to be ultimately successful. Because the desire is there because you're here. And so we know that. And so we just have to kind of peel back the layers of that onion in some cases.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know at some point, I mean, I was coming to class. I tried to take many of my classes one semester online, and because I was working full time, but there was one or two classes that they were not offered online, and I had to go to class. So I worked it out so that I think it was like I was taking like a longer lunch break. And I would talk to my teacher, and I would tell my teacher, you know, I'm coming straight from work, just taking a break from work. I've worked it out, and I've flexed my hours and all of that, right? And I remember being so nervous to have that conversation because I thought, oh my gosh, you know, he's going to be like, well, that's not my problem. And I was like, there may be times that I'm going to be late because I might be with, you know, caught up with something at work, or there may be times where I need to leave early because, again, I have something happening at work. And it was such a relief. It was so great to hear him say, sure, no problem. You know, just thanks for letting me know. I'll make sure to leave the door unlocked. Whenever we're doing presentations, just kind of like look through the window or listen, you know, by the door. And if it's in the middle of a presentation, just wait and then come in. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, you know, they get it. They understand you're a whole person. You have a life. And what they want is to see that you are willing to talk to them, that you're willing to explain your situation to them, and they're willing to work with you. They really, really are. And I was not the only one. I mean, I saw many kids, you know, with different things, and you know, many times they would just leave earlier, but the teacher knew, and they would catch up later via email or, you know, so it's not like we were working less. In fact, I even felt that I needed to work a little harder because I really appreciated that the teacher had that flexibility with me. So I made sure to be on top of things. So if you're a student who feels like, well, I don't have the time or they're not going to work with me, I really, really encourage you to talk to your teacher, talk to an advisor if you feel that that's a safer place to start the conversation. Just don't think, just look for support. There's many people out there who want to help. There's many people out there who want you to succeed. And all you have to do is really just come and say, I'm running into the situation right here. What can we do? How can you help me? How can we make this work? And I guarantee you at HEC, I'm going to say 10 out of 10 times, you're going to find that people are willing to help.
I agree.
We are running out of time. And, you know, thankfully, I think we went through the entire list. Is there anything that we missed, any services or anything that we haven't covered yet?
No, you kept me on task. I think we've covered pretty much everything.
We covered from A to Z.
Yeah, and back again.
And back again. Yes, absolutely. How can people get in touch with you? How can they get more information and just contact and speak to somebody about all of the services that we covered today?
Again, they can search under the Academic Support Services website for any of those programs. And they can also contact me at dgreen@howardcc.edu. And I'll be sure to refer you to the proper office, or if you have any questions, I'll get back to you.
Deborah, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for all you do and for your information. I really appreciate it.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.